I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Group, Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We have Spencer with our joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. And I had a request to do some toilet humor to start. The bathrooms are right there. No need to take the elevator or the stairs. Conveniently right up here. Thank you. And I have another joke from Take Me to Your Sponsor. It's the best in jokes and cartoons that a grapevine seemed to be able to find. All right. An old-timer was going off in a meeting, explaining how the steps were numbered because they were meant to be worked in order. He went on to say that if you can't skip ahead, because that would be a formula for disaster. A newcomer carrying a hot pot of coffee was so captivated by the old-timer that she didn't watch where she was going and tripped. She accidentally spilled all of the hot coffee on the old-timer. Aghast, she stood there in horror. As the old-timer wailed at her, saying, "Aren't you even going to say you're sorry?" Stunned, the newcomer replied, "I would, but I'm not on step 10 yet."
those who can't adjourn, we can read the fall-like prayer. God.
Let your love shine through me like a fall-like, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked a friend to read Appendix 2 to Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claude, and I'm an alcoholic. And the accent is from Trois-Rivières, Quebec. It's French. So, the spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet, it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experience must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feelings and outlook. Among our rapidly grown membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James, good book, calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realized that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our most religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance, and that principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, pages 567 and 568, Big Book.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane mode, airplane meeting mode, or just turn them off. I have the honor of and pleasure of introducing our speaker tonight. It's about the third time I've seen you do one of these. You spoke at Florida State and blew that place up. If you haven't heard Paulette yet, you're in for a treat. And if you've heard her before, you know you're in for a treat. So I love your walk. Baron and I just have great respect for you. And thank you for participating in this step series. So please, warm welcome for Miss Paulette.
Hello. I need my big book. Sorry. Thank you, Peter. That was so nice of you coming from a long time. God, how I hated them when I came in. And now I can't live without them. They set the standard. But from the bottom of my heart, I thank you, Peter. You and Marion has been my biggest supporter, one of them. So thank you. Well, hello, fellow travelers.
Hello.
I came early tonight. You know how I feel about coming early to this meeting. I get too relaxed. And then I remember I got to do the service. And I can't sit back. But that's okay. I was telling Peter that's what we do today. We work for God. That's our primary purpose. And we are on 9-step tonight. So, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I am an alcoholic, member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My home group is located in Miramar, and my home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. I am sponsored, and I sponsor. And to me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. And I know what I need to do. Oh, I got water. What happened to my fancy Fiji water last week? Somebody drank it, huh? Trust me, when you're sober, you remember everything. No more blackouts here, baby. Okay. Thank you, Guy. Guy sent me my set-aside prayer. Because sometimes I misplace it in so many of the books. I say this prayer. There are many versions to the set-aside prayer. And I was given this by my sponsor, Dorothy H., before she passed away. And I still use it today whenever I'm doing any kind of AA service and standing in front of you guys. It keeps it real for me and keeps me in balance and let me know why I'm here and who is in charge. And so I will say this prayer balances me. So this is my version of set-aside prayer. So please, this is the God of my own understanding. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these 12 steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may gain an open mind and a new experience to all these things. Please, God, help me to see the truth. Thank you for your indulgence. Nine step goals. We're on nine, so I got to read the step. As you know by now, if you have been listening to me share my experience, strength, and hope on the steps, I always have to read it because I am an alcoholic. I am recovered, but I am an alcoholic. I'm not cured. Sometimes I don't feel like following directions. I just don't know why. It just happens. I get a wild idea, and I add a word or two or a comma or a period, and I con myself that it is, or tell myself the lie that if I do that, it will make it possible for me to work the steps and sit down and become disciplined enough. Those magical thinking. So I still read the steps no matter how many times I do it, and may the God of my understanding never let me stop reading them. There's always new things for this alcoholic to discover. Step 9 says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Period. What a wonderful way of telling me I need to finish doing the work. This is the last of the action step that I need to get into to remove the things that block me from the sunlight of the Spirit. And for me, this is a huge one. And I have to tell you, because these steps, especially this one, continuously through the years, there are things that pops up for me that I have to work through the ninth step. But because I keep working, I'm always, not always, but most of the time willing, because I already seen it. It's on my list. And the opportunity comes. But so I will be working. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is wonderful for the ninth step. Wonderful. Starts at 76. And it's like Bill couldn't stop, man. He just kept going with it. And I was like, I mean, it's 76, it's 77, it's 78. Jesus! And then I'm saying to myself, and then I thought, as an alcoholic, when I was actively drinking, there was a lot of damage that this woman did. I mean, actually, I lived in Jamaica. I moved from Jamaica. I took me with me wherever I went. So I went to Toronto, Canada. I took me with me wherever I went. And then I came to Brooklyn, New York. Took me with me wherever I went. Jesus, I did a whole lot of damage. So there is not enough pages in the big book for me to categorize the amount of harms and damage I did. It's a lifetime. And so when I thought about it, new perspective, gain a new perspective, I realized how important each pages are. Because I did not come in here with a halo over my head, as you can tell. There was a lot of damage. So I invite you all that haven't opened your big book yet to the ninth step. It is wonderfully written in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page by page, clearly states directions. If you're an alcoholic like me that don't read the labels, sorry for you. You are in trouble because you got to follow this. So I want to start with where he says, hold on, 76. I marked it. Mm-hmm. My sponsee gave me sticky and parked. I don't know why, but because I am going to use it, but I thank her. Anyway, 76, I want to start on there first. There's so much in this that I want to talk to you about, to share. And please do not forget that this is my experience, strength, and hope working the ninth step and the benefits that I have gained from doing it. Out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and its accompanied partner, the 12 and 12. Please remember that. He talks about this in the second. I like the prayer that starts on 76. It's a six-step prayer. After you finish with the state of willingness, we're going to need it for nine. That's why he says we're entirely ready, because he knew what he was setting me up for. You know, he's sneaky like I am. I identify with that sneakiness and manipulation. Because if you don't trick an alcoholic like me into doing what's good for me, I just won't do it. You know, they used to tell me back in the days when you made meetings in early sobriety and the long-timers wanted you to open the big book and they couldn't get you to read it. It wasn't as prevalent as big book studies are now. And they would say, you want to hide something from an alcoholic, put it in the big book. And I identify with that because I was like, I don't feel like reading tonight. But this is true. It says, when ready, where is the readiness from? Sixth step. We're entirely ready. He said, when ready, it's a state of spiritual and God-centered readiness. It is not an average readiness because it's devoid from all fear, because I have now realized that all the harms I've done and all the damage I've done, I am tired of it. For me, it's a load that I am ready to put down. It's been on me for a long time and I need to move through it. There is a way. And so he says, when I'm ready, I'll say something like this. This is six, after six step. My creator, it's now in seven. Humility. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I know I got good and I know I've got bad because I've done my inventory. I also revisited it in eight. And even though it was a purposeless piece of surgery, it was worth the time. Because once I opened some of those harms that I thought I was healed, there came pus, infection, that was festering all along underneath there. And I was thinking that I was over that. And it wasn't. And it allowed me to open those emotional and spiritual harms, especially with my son. Did it with my son a lot more, and my immediate family, especially one of my sisters who has passed away now. And I realized why I was so angry when she said certain things to me. Eight allowed me to do that. It says, now I saw there were part of me that was good and there was part of me that is bad. And no matter how bad or far down I had gone, there was part of me that there was some goodness in me. And I had to see this. And it's also important to see this before I applied what nine is saying. So I'm taking the time to tell you my journey. And it says, he says, I pray now that you remove from me every single defect of character. I love when he specifies these things, because he's not telling me some, one or two, maybe next week. I love when you tell sponsees you got to do something now. They're like, can I do it tomorrow? No. Well, if you read the book, he's like, now, all, at once. You know, things like that, because he knows delay is deadly. And so he says here, all these defects, that every single one which stands in the way of my usefulness to you, to others. It's just wonderful. Doesn't it fill you with warmth? That there's a prayer. It's a petition. And then he says, to grant me strength. Strength is power, as it's used in this context. As I go out from here in my spirit, out to you. And then he says, what am I going to do? I'm going to do your bidding. Bidding. Service to the power greater than me, my God. And then he says, after that, then he says, now we need more action. without which we find that faith without works is dead. Where did we get the faith from? It started in 3, when I made a decision to turn my thinking, which turns out to be my thinking and my life, which is my thinking, into action, becomes the sum total of my life. This is the decision. Now 3 becomes really important, because now I have that I got in 3. Now I'm going to have to put some work into that faith. That decision becomes now an action. And so he says, without that, it's just words. It's just talk. And you know, alcoholics, we're good for talk. A lot of gabbing. Nothing behind it, eh? Now you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is if you're going to be practicing this way of life. And then he says, this is how we look at 8 and 9. We have made a list of all who we have harmed, and I'm summarizing as I go along for the sake of time, and to whom I have become willing, or am willing to make, didn't become, willing to make amends. Amends, repair damage, correct the harm. A mere sorry does not suffice. That's why I like Spencer joke tonight. You know, it was so apropos, it's perfect. You know, alcoholics like to say they're sorry. Well, we're a sorry bunch of sorries, you know, because that's all we did. When we never meant it. So this is not about that. This is bigger than that. We come from inside. And so what happens, he says, now we have to subject ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. And then when we finish with that, that's the 8, where I learned how to forgive myself seriously so that I can forgive you. I have learned and continue to remain teachable that I can't give what I don't have. So I've got to get these things before I can start giving them away. Because when I can give it away, then I know what it is for you to get what I'm giving, because I received it. And so it's important that I tell you, this is what he's saying. Now I go out to you and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated over time. I just gave you my geographical history. You know so many people in that past. I can think of so many people that I have stepped on and disregarded who they are, just to get to where I want to go and to be who I want to be. So I knew this line read so much important, meant so much to me. I have accumulated it, and here's 3 again. On my efforts, self-propulsion, 3rd step, to live on self-will, 3rd step. Because something that I feel that I should have is being threatened or being taken away. What all my natural instincts, God-given, that Bill talks about in 4 in the 12 and 12, have now been threatened by you, or so I perceive. And what happens is, out of that distorted perception, I step on your toes, I crawl on your back, I character assassinate, I steal, I do all kinds of manner of things because of fear. Bill says fear should be classified as stealing. It robbed me of who I am and the ability to be a decent human being. And so what he's talking about now, I know that I have to give up the show. I no longer is the director. I am just one of the participant. And in order for me to do this, it's a new beginning. And then he reminded me back in 1, when I was desperate enough to get what you had, I made a promise that I would go to any lengths to have victory over alcohol. Now put your money where your mouth is, Paulette. Move forward. And so what happened is now he says, at one point in the first time when I did this, I had some misgivings. And this is my story from the book, straight up. He said, it's okay to have misgivings because when you look at your catalogs of harm, it's frightening. And you're a human being. You're not a robot. And what he's saying here to me, he says, I may feel diffident. What does he mean by diffident? I may lack the confidence to go out there and do and make amends to the people that I have feared all my life. To look you in the eye and directly say to you, I have done you harm. This is what I've done to you. And I need for you to tell me how best, if it's possible, can I make some kind of amends to repair the damage I have done. I hope it's not too late. Seven talks about sincere desire. That's the kind of tools, the mood, the attitude that I have to use to get in tonight. I can't be cocky. I have to be humble. This has anchored me into humility. Because this is not only about me cleaning my side of the street. I now found out why I was doing all this work. The God of my understanding was clearing me up to be of maximum service to him and to you. So not only do I get a chance to make amends to you, repair the damage if you allow me to, I now will also follow it up by serving you. That's a big task for an alcoholic like me. I'm a human being. And so he says, this is possible. Because he says, sometimes we need to remember that we don't need to go into this kind of and it is I wrote it down. I hope I remember to tell you about it. The state that you're in, it's not a normal, ordinary state. It's a calm, but it's a spiritual calm when you are in nine step. Because you have now come forward through one through eight. And I have gained the spiritual benefit. Know some more, and I feel my confidence is lifting because I know. Because on page, I think it's 124, where Bill offers something like, he says, cling to the fact that in God's hand, my dark past is my greatest possession. It applies to nine. When I look at all of my dark past in this catalog of harms, and the people that are on the low-hanging fruit or the one way up top, I cling to the fact that all of that damage, if I place it in the God of my understanding hands, it's my greatest possession. He just gave me a boost. Because I realized that the third column in step four, where all that part of self that was God-given to me, that was damaged, that I had turned over to the God of my understanding. That third column belongs to God of my understanding because I can't fix it. Here is what it's going to be fixed. I need to talk to you so I can clear you out of the way so I can get healed. So this is part of nine. It's a big deal. I can't serve you if I have a lot of things on my mind that is weighing me down. And you know how distracted alcoholics can get. As soon as you hear a fly around the room, everybody looks. That's how easily distracted we can get. You know, it doesn't matter. And so he says, here's what I need to do. And he lays this out well. I loved it because I'm going to flip too quickly because here are the things that I need. If I haven't received them, this is another reason why, my dear fellow travelers, why we cannot, should not do the steps cafeteria style, because you can't approach a step such as this without doing the previous eight, because you need some tools, and you only get these tools if you do the previous steps, because you will be going into a gunfight with a knife. Really? Because it is about life and death. You should also have someone to guide you, because this step is very important to have guidance. Because some of us have done some serious harms, not taking your inventory, but I've heard a few. And you need guidance so you don't do the wrong thing and make matters worse. Don't go it alone. Nine emphasizes this. And so in the 12 and 12, he tells me this. What do I need? Good judgment. Hello. Hello. This room is packed full of us who've never knew that there was such a thing as good judgment. Feels good. I'm going to do it. Careful sense of timing. Careful sense of timing. Courage and prudence. These are the qualities I shall need when to win step nine. Where am I going to get them? Previous eight steps that you did before you get them. And no, for me, the courage that I needed, I got from Ford. I knew that a careful sense of timing was about 5, 6, 7, because I knew I couldn't, the things that was bothering me and I couldn't deal with them no more. It took a while, but the timing was right when I was ready to get rid. So I said, God, I can't deal with this no more. Timing is everything in spiritual development for me. And he talks about it when he says, I need the first thing that I need to approach step nine, my dear fellow traveler, is a tranquil mind. Tranquility gives you an image of still waters with a soft breeze, where all about me is nothing but peace. If I can conjure up that imagery in my mind, I can approach nine step with an open and willing heart, where I have a sense of confidence that even if you throw me out the door, I know I've done my part. And then he says, prudence is taking calculated chances. Calculated chances. Now, You, every alcoholic I know of taking calculated chances just didn't know you were operating on prudence. It was for the wrong motives. And I know you know it. I'm just not going to tell you about your inventory, but I know it. He says, because every time, the first time I made Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, even if I did not decide I was going to stay, I began to make amends. I just didn't know it. This is how this way of life becomes a part of it. It creeps up on you little by little. Every time I made the meeting in early sobriety was an assurance that I was making an amends. I just didn't know it. I had to go further. And so when he says, I cannot buy my peace of mind at the expense of others, I am acting on this part of this discretion. So a lot of us have done a lot of damage with other people that wasn't our significant others. And it's one of the things that a sponsor pointed out to me years ago was that when you get into this step, you want to dump everything. You want to talk to everything. You just want to do everything. You just feel like you're on this spiritual mountain and you don't know what to do with yourself. Thank God for God's sponsorship. Easy, Paulette. Take it easy. You cannot get a clear conscience at the expense of another human being. That's creating more harm. Good judgment. So you can't, unless you get that person's permission. So now you have to consider other people. That's another thing Nine gave me. Because in my exact nature of my wrongs, I learned that I was inconsiderate. How do I get to be considerate? Nines allow me to be that way. So I want to tell you more about my experience with the other part of Nine, because nine is so deep that it tells me a lot of us have financial problems when we get to AA. And I wasn't any different. I owed American Express, and I refused to pay them. But you keep coming, you keep doing them. And what happened was, American Express didn't forget that I owed them. So you get the bills. And a lovely husband of mine saved every box, every bill. I ended up with 4 boxes of unpaid bills when I got sober. And part of them was American Express. So the more I practice this way of life, it now becomes a design for living. It's not a program anymore. And my conscience won't allow me to let it go. Because I tell myself this lie, form of insanity. It's a Fortune 500 company. They won't remember what little I owe them. I'm just a blip on the fly on the wall. Spoiler alert, it's the little fish they remember more than the bigger fish. And I was one of them. And I knew I had to take care of this amends. This is a financial. It's also in this big book, how to do it. And so what happened was I talked to another alcoholic. And at the time, I wasn't with a sponsor. I had a sponsorino, sponsor in name only. And so, but I told her what was on my mind, and I needed to do this amends and whatnot. Decided, and she gave me good direction because she happened to be an IRS agent. Alcoholics Anonymous, we have every profession in the room. And so she gave me good advice, and I followed direction because I knew she was coming from inside. It was inside, my best interests. And so what I did was I got the letter that they started suing me. Yeah. And so I answered the subpoena, and I went to court. And just like in an AA meeting, when they say you make an AA meeting and you sit up front, you don't want to miss what the speaker is saying because it just might save your life. They said, whatever we teach you in the room, go out there and practice it. And so I went to the court and I sat in the front row with Peter sitting. And the judge is right here. And everything the judge said, I heard everything. And believe it or not, I had no fear. Because all I knew was there was this peace, but more importantly, it's a form of willingness that I could not describe to you that enveloped my whole being. And I'm sitting just like Peter, very relaxed. And then judge tell the bailiff called people's name. This is debtor's court, by the way. You do end up there sober. And you sit, and the names are calling, and it's jammed. And I'm saying to myself, okay, calm. And my husband is sitting in the back. He don't want to be nowhere near me. And what happened? My name, and as soon as she called my name, I jumped up and stood up and said, I'm here. And the judge looks at me, and the judge says, in all my years in debtor's court, nobody has ever responded to their names the way you have. The spirit of nine. I don't have any any responsibility to how the outcome is going to happen. That is in the hand of my God. In his hand, my dark past is my greatest possession. All I have to do is be in a state of willingness and readiness. Calm, tranquil, and just show up. And I stood up and she recognized something different in all of the people. I'm not special. I'm a debtor. I won't pay my bill. What's so special about that? There was a time when I was ashamed about it. And then she looked at the lawyer from American Express and she said, go out in the hallway and whatever amount she says she can pay, take it. And I go behind the lawyer and he says, can you pay this? Can you pay that? God of my understanding spoke, not me. I told him what I could afford and how often. He said, sign this. I signed it. And he shook my hand and he said, thank you. Goes back in the court and I follow behind him. And the judge said, you're done? And she said, you okay with it? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay, take care. And I left debtor's court. I paid off that bill to American Express less than the time that I had made the deal with. And in no time as I made my last payment, I got a letter from American Express asking me if I would like to have an account. I said, no, thank you. This is the very spirit of nine. This is what I'm talking about. It's real. And the most important one I want to tell you about, because it's 803 and this is important. There's every bit of my way in which I have unfolded and make my amends with the very intent of what nine is talking about, with all the previous spiritual principle, in addition to what the qualities that nine asked me to get, to the best of my ability, I am still doing it to this day. 5 years ago, my youngest sister lost her oldest child to a brain aneurysm. She lives in Kingston, Jamaica, St. Catherine, actually. And I had to go home. It was in my first step study that a long time I asked me to do. And in that step study, I talked about my resentment and anger to the country of my birth. And after the meeting, the long timer come up to me at the back and he said, Poet, you need to do something about that resentment. You need to take care of it. This is why I cherish long timers. They have wisdom. And if you are ever doubt it, hang out with them. They give it to you real, but it's simple. But it's heartfelt and it's for your best interest. Because this man told me this the first time I started doing step studies. I did not know that my sister's daughter was going to die. I did not know that I was going to go home to Jamaica. None of that was in the horizon. All I did was I listened to what he said and I kept it in. I didn't throw it away. They said, file it away until you're ready to use it. And I kept working on me. About forgiveness. I gotta forgive me because I held a high standard. Why can't I forgive me? What is it that stopped me from being human? And if I can't forgive you, I can't forgive. If I can't forgive me, I can't forgive you. And I need to move on. It's pressing, it's stopping me from growing. And so my life took a turn with that, and Dorothy was my sponsor at the time, and I spoke to Dorothy, and thank God we were working on, at the time, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And we used to meet every Sunday and work on these steps and put pen to paper, because I am not one of those folks who do steps out of my head. It paper and pen in black and white shows me the truth. My mind will deceive me and tell me all kinds of rationalization and justification. Can't afford it, it will kill me. And so I did that, and that when my sister needed me, I knew I had to go home. My home group, did not ask for this. My home group could not come to support me in Jamaica. So what they did was they took up a collection and put it together and said, take this to your sister and tell her that we wish we could be there. But that's what my home group did. My sister has never been into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And so I go home, and I had one problem with going home. One of my oldest brother that I have, we never got along. He did me harm, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I never wanted to talk about it. We never had a relationship. But he was on my eighth step, and I knew I had to do something. And Bill talks about it. He said, you got to do forgiveness. He said, he talks about it. He says, it's no use a keko calling a tar, a tar spot black, he says, in the 12 and 12. He's talking about if God can forgive me, who am I not to forgive others? And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm working with Dorothy, and I go home, and I'm still on my mind. I went home to Jamaica. I have no idea, none, about what am I going to do. But I knew that if the opportunity arises, I will be led. That's the beautiful thing about the state of readiness in 9. You feel that you're being led when you get into that state. At least that's been my experience. And so I go home, and I'm sitting. My sister has a home in a cul-de-sac with a lot of mango trees. You know, that's my favorite fruit. And I'm sitting across from it on a stool. And it's the first day I'm home. And I'm taking in the breeze of the island breeze. It's a beautiful experience. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be of service to my sister. I don't know how, but whatever it is that is pointed out to me, I'm going to be of service to her. Because I cannot replace her child, and I cannot be poo-pooing this. This is heavy. And as I looked down the block, there comes my brother. And my brother is coming down, and he's on the other side, and I get up. He stood up straight, and I crossed the street, and I come to the side that he's on. And I stood down, and I turned, and I looked at my brother. And I watched this man that I have hated for years. Years that I can't even count. And my brother looks up, and he sees me. And the two of us walk towards each other. I kid you not, this has been my experience. And we walk towards each other with open arms, hugged each other. Not a word was said. I never said a word. I hugged my brother, and he hugged me. It was as if the years of hate melted away in that one moment. And I understood what 9 meant. Freedom. Freedom through that arc that 3 talks about. The keystone. I walked through that keystone that day and emerged a free woman. That could never define me anymore. I didn't have to look back. I was free that I could be of service to my sister the way the God of my understanding wanted me to be supportive. This is no joke. If you want to be free, this is a way out. This has been my experience. And I thank you, God. And I thank every one of you for every opportunity. Because every time I remember and talk about this as my 9-step experience, I get really emotional because it's a big deal for me. Thank you.
Okay. Let's give it up for Paulette once more.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs and on Zoom. I've asked Thomas to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. Good, how are you? Thank you.
My home group is Tradition and Steps. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Thomas. And today, guys, today's the best day of my life. Recovered. We're not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we're not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem, the main problem of alcoholic sinners in his mind rather than his body. Page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940 style Big Book sponsorship. From the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? If you're too shy, you can hang out at the piano in the back there and somebody will help you. And then can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? Awesome, awesome. And then we have screen announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. All right, then we have Broward County Institutions Committee. It's responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC committee out there tonight? We have one. Please stand so people can ask you questions after the meeting. Yeah, that's what it says. And then here are some upcoming service opportunities. Last week for the 60th Appreciation Banquet, we're requesting donations. And then we have the telephone relay. You can help people on the AA hotline if you're interested. Mike Chase has more information. Then we have Paulette until May 2nd, 3 more weeks. And then after that, we have Marion for May 9th to June 13th. All right. And then, of course, we have our home group's Monday night Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and Big Book Dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bell. See you next week.
We have tonight's session and all past speakers podcasted at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study. And those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And let's all, I think we're going to remain seated, yes, to do the Lord's Prayer. Whose Father?
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is. we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
I am desperately in need of restoration, yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher, yeah. The only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. And I am willing to hand over every one of them. 'Cause they won't profit me anything. Smiling, the whole world
smiles with you, yes, when you laughing, when you laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. Crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling.
Yeah. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Oh.
fall is to go at I work these hands right down to the bone. Work these hands right down to the bone. I've worked so hard for someone I don't know. I watched these walls be bought and sold, so low.
Got one man that just won't save me.